Well, hello there. Welcome back. This is episode 324 of the New LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, the podcast that helps you achieve consistency in reading the Bible. My name is Steve Webb, and I'm your host. How are you today? Doing well? I hope so. If this is your first time here, a very warm welcome to you. I'm excited that you joined me today. This is a Monday through Friday podcast, but during this 31-day challenge known as the Dog Days of Podcasting, or DDP, I'll also be doing special shows on Saturday and Sunday. DDP will go until September 4th, and I'd love to have your input for some of those weekend shows. Send me a question or two that you'd like me to answer. It could be anything about the Bible, Christian doctrine, why is the sky blue, who's your favorite singer, whatever you're curious about. Think of a question or two and email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. If I use your question on the show, and chances are good that I will, I'll send you a copy of my book, Webb's Easy Bible Names Pronunciation Guide. This book represents 2 years of my life's work and is a $20 value. All you gotta do is send in a question for me to answer on one of the weekend DDP shows. For those who may be new around these parts, here's how the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible works. We're reading through the Bible, but we're doing it on three tracks. Track one is reading through the Old Testament, track two is reading through the New Testament, and the third is reading through the books of the Bible that are classified as poetry and or wisdom. Each day alternates to one of those tracks, and each week I choose a different translation of the Bible to read. And by the way, that might be a good question for you to ask. Why are there different translations of the Bible? Today we're on track two, and we're going to read through the entire New Testament book of Titus. But wait, don't panic, it's a short little book. I always shoot for about a 10-minute show, and we should be out of here around that time. We might go a little bit long today, but I'm going to try to keep it as close to 10 minutes as possible. This week, we're reading from the New American Standard Bible. Let's begin. Titus chapter 1. Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of those chosen of God and the knowledge of the truth which is according to godliness, in the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised long ages ago, but at the proper time manifested, even His word, in the proclamation with which I was entrusted according to the commandment of God, our Savior. To Titus, my true child in a common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Savior. For this reason I left you in Crete, that you would set in order what remains and appoint elders in every city as I directed you, namely, if any man is above reproach, the husband of one wife, having children who believe, not accused of dissipation or rebellion. For the overseer must be above reproach as God's steward, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not addicted to wine, not pugnacious, not fond of sordid gain, but hospitable, loving what is good, sensible, just, devout, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word which is in accordance with the teaching, so that he will be able both to exhort in sound doctrine and to refute those who contradict. For there are many rebellious men, empty talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, who must be silenced because they are upsetting whole families, teaching things they should not teach for the sake of sordid gain. One of themselves, a prophet of their own, said, "Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons." This testimony is true. For this reason, reprove them severely, so that they may be sound in the faith, not paying attention to Jewish myths and commandments of men who turn away from the truth. To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but both their mind and their conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny Him, being detestable and disobedient and worthless for any good deed. Titus chapter 2. But as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. Older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, in perseverance. Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. Likewise, urge the young men to be sensible. In all things, show yourself to be an example of good deeds with purity in doctrine, dignified, sound in speech which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. Urge bondslaves to be subject to their own masters in everything, to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith so that they will adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in every respect. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed, and to purify for Himself a people for His own possession, zealous for good deeds. These things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority. Let no one disregard you. Titus chapter 3. Remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed, to malign no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. For we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, being justified by His grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy statement, and concerning these things, I want you to speak confidently so that those who have believed God will be careful to engage in good deeds. These things are good and profitable for men, but avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and strife and disputes about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. Reject a factious man after a first and second warning, knowing that such a man is perverted and is sinning, being self-condemned. When I send Artemas or Tychicus to you, make every effort to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there. Diligently help Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their way, so that nothing is lacking for them. Our people must also learn to engage in good deeds to meet pressing needs, so that they will not be unfruitful. All who are with me greet you. Greet those who love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. May God richly bless the reading of His Word. Many or most of those participating in DDP are listening to all or most of the other DDP podcasts, so I feel the need to explain some of the points that the Apostle Paul made in this letter to Titus. I know that there are some who have limited knowledge of the Bible, and I hope to make it not so foreign-sounding to you. For my longtime listeners, I hope that's okay with you. Maybe there'll be something for you here, too. First, a short background. Paul was one of the men in the very early church that was responsible for taking the message of Jesus to people in places quite far from Jerusalem, where Jesus was crucified and resurrected. And Paul was used by God to write much of the New Testament. This little book is actually a letter that Paul wrote to a man named Titus, which is, of course, why the book is called Titus. Now, Titus was a man who traveled with Paul and helped him in his work. In other parts of Scripture, Paul calls him his brother, or his partner and fellow helper, and in this book you heard Paul refer to him as his true child. So we see that Paul thought highly of him. Titus was a Greek, not a Jew, and he was with Paul in Rome when Paul was put on trial before Caesar. Before they were in Rome, however, the two of them had been in Crete, introducing the people there to the message of Jesus, but Paul was unable to stay very long, and he left Titus there to continue the work. Titus had some difficulties in Crete, and Paul sent this letter to encourage and help him and the new believers there. Now, a few observations from what we read today. After Paul's opening or salutation in the first chapter, he tells Titus what he should be looking for in men who would be leaders in the church there in Crete. It was important to get men of integrity who were above reproach because there were some in their midst who were causing trouble, especially, in Paul's words, those of the circumcision. What he meant by that was old school Jewish men. The reason that was a problem is that they were trying to teach that the people should follow the old Jewish laws of doing the various sacrifices and dietary restrictions and a host of other things that are no longer necessary because the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus did away with those things. The message of the gospel, which means good news, by the way, is that Jesus was the final and perfect sacrifice once and for all for those who believe in him. The law put people under bondage, but Jesus brought grace, which makes us free. In chapter 2, Paul talked about how believers should behave so as to not bring dishonor to God. And some of the language sounds very politically incorrect to our 21st century ears, especially in regards to how women should act. So I'd like to briefly address those things. In regards to young women, Paul says that they should, quote, love their husbands, love their children, be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husband, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. Well, there's a lot there, and we have little time, so let me focus on the last part. Workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands. What Paul was saying was that young wives who had children should not be going around leaving their children at home and partying, but they should nurture their children at home in a loving way, and they should be subject to their own, not others', husbands. Remember, the men had already been told to be sound in love, and when there is love on both sides, the matter of being subject to one another is not a problem. In another New Testament book written by Paul, the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, he uses similar language. He says that wives should be subject to their own husbands as they would to the Lord. And he tells husbands to love their wives just as Christ also loved the church, which are those people who love him, Jesus, and believe in him. So, just as Christ also loved the church and gave his life for her, the church is always referred to as a female. So he gave his life for the church. Christ loved the church and gave his life for her. In my almost 26-year marriage to the lovely Lady Leanne, Leanne is subject to me, and I would do anything in the world for her. As Jesus does not rule over the church with an iron fist, I do not do that to Leanne. Jesus sacrificed his very life for the church, and I would do the same for my wife. We have a mutually respectful and loving marriage. She does everything possible to make me happy, and I do the same for her. She doesn't gallivant around town causing embarrassment to me or God, and I don't go carousing around either. We love to be with each other. For many, many years, we worked a family business where we were with each other 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and we loved it. She has an outside job now just because the economy has caused that necessity, but we hate to be apart from each other. We are a perfect match to each other because we have mutual love and respect for each other. And this is what Paul was saying. When both husband and wife love God and then love each other, things in the home honor God instead of dishonor him. Okay, quickly now, because we truly are short on time. In verse 9, Paul talks about bond slaves. Now, this is not the kind of slavery that we think of that happened here in the United States in our early history and happens even still in various other parts of the world. What Paul was talking about here with bond slaves is this. When people got into debt that they could not repay, they would sometimes volunteer to put themselves into bond slavery under the person to whom they owed the debt until they could work it off. More can be said on this subject, but the clock is winding down. Chapter 3 is a thing of beauty. Verses 4 and 5 state beautifully the message of Jesus, and here it is in a nutshell. But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy. He saved us because of His mercy. In reality, the entire Bible is a love letter from God to you. It really is. As Paul said in verse 8 of this chapter, this is a trustworthy statement. The entire Bible is a love letter from God to you. We're out of time, but I hope you'll come back here again and again to hear more. It really is impossible to explain it all in a 10-minute podcast, but if you stick with me, if you'll let the words of the Bible into your heart and your mind, I think you'll see that God is madly, deeply in love with you. And I'd like to hear your comments. If you'd like to leave a comment or a word of encouragement or a suggestion, email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com or leave a comment on the show notes page at 324.lifespringmedia.com or tweet me at _SteveWeb_, there's two B's in web, #LifespringMedia. Also, remember to send me a question or two that you'd like me to answer during one of the weekend DDP shows. Could be a question about the Bible, Christian doctrine, or anything. If I use your question on the show, I'll send you a free copy of my book, Webb's Easy Bible Names Pronunciation Guide. That's a $20 value. If you'd like to know more about that book, just go to easybiblenamesguide.com. Be sure you're subscribed to the show, and tomorrow we're on track 3, which takes us back to the book of Job. Until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Thank you for being here. Bye.